Welcome to the Flatlands Field and Foul Podcast with your hosts, Dwayne Dirksen and Tanner Friesen. Stay tuned for all kinds of hunting talk, outdoors talk, various other topics. You're sure to have a good time. You're in good hands.
Welcome here. Welcome here. I guess I shouldn't be saying welcome here. We are in your place after
all. Well, I mean, what are we doing here?
That's a good question. Well, this is the first installment of the Flatlands Field and Foul podcast.
Flatlands Field and Foul podcast, episode one.
A little name I did come up with.
On your own, if I will give you the credit.
Well, I mean, we do live in a quite flat environment here, and
there are fields
and there are creatures that live in fields around here, and
hey, you're not wrong.
And there is fowl here. I mean Manitoba is considered a waterfowl mecca of the world, one of them, perhaps maybe Saskatchewan as well, but
really,
it's true.
See, I did not know that.
So they say. I mean, who's to say it's right, but
I mean,
that's what I've heard.
I do know that we are like in the 3-mile migration for Canadian gooses.
I mean,
geese.
Sure. I mean, out here, we don't really see a whole heck of a lot of snow geese, but we see a heck of a lot of Canadas.
Honkers.
The old hankers, yeah. Basically, that name came up from, I was just playing around with names and the fact that, you know, Manitoba's prairies, essentially. I mean, southeastern Manitoba is where the prairies meet the shield, the Canadian shield.
Yep.
And, I mean, essentially, where we live, it is more prairies. I mean, you drive half an hour to the east and you're hitting shield, basically, or you're hitting the start of the sand hills into the shield. So, I figured, well, you know, prairies is a bit, I don't know, everybody seems to use prairies and
it's pretty vague.
And, well, I mean, it's, you know, we always say prairie proud or, you know, from the prairies or whatever. And I thought,
prairie
well,
built.
Prairie built or
Yodas sometimes say.
Yeah. And
speaking of Segway, that's
on.
A good one. Toyotas.
We're not there yet, old son.
Oh, okay.
yeah, but so, yeah, that covers the Flatlands part of it.
Yep.
And basically, I just wanted to cover a name of, you know, not just waterfowl and not just perhaps big game. I mean, out here, basically, for huntability, we have white-tailed deer and black bears for big game within, like, our, I don't know, 50-mile radius kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean, there used to be moose season in Stewart Burn,
yep.
which is
what, half an hour from here?
45 minutes away.
Tops.
And so, yeah, like, but that ended, I want to say, in the 80s, and it's 2018 now.
Been a few moons.
But as a side note, I have seen them there in Stewart Burn. I mean, seeing as though my mother does come from there, and, you know, my uncle has the farm there now, but, I mean, as a kid, I remember my grandpa, or, you know, us being at my grandpa's farm and seeing a cow, and I believe it was two calves, cross the hayfield.
Yeah.
So that would have been, oh, I'd reckon around the year 2000. I mean, I do hunt there a lot for whitetails, but I haven't seen any since. So yeah, that is the fields and the fowl, as I said. I mean, people call Manitoba a waterfowl mecca, and I agree. So that is,
being a big waterfowl hunter yourself.
That is right.
I mean, you are a well-versed hunter.
Well, I mean,
well-fed hunter.
I would say well-fed more than well-versed. I mean, I, you know, the biggest thing is to remain a sponge throughout your life, I believe. I mean, I'm no weathered veteran of the fair chase, but
not graying the whiskers
yet. I'm not graying the whiskers yet, no, but I'd like to think that I'm, you know, learning well and you know, just trying to take in as much as I can. And
well, now that they have your whole history there, who are you? I feel like we should have covered a name before we got into the history.
Words are words. You know, some people call me Bushmaster 25, hailing from southeastern Manitoba. My real name would be Dwayne Dirksen. You might not know how to spell that. That's not my problem. But, yeah, so that's me, and I guess Flatlands Field and Fowl right now is just a little side project I'm working on. It's no promise to be anything great yet. I mean, obviously that would be the goal, but
yeah,
that might be this year. It might be years down the road. I don't know.
Hey, maybe one day you'll get paid to hunt. You can make a living off hunting.
Wouldn't that be great?
Everybody's dream.
All right, and so now that you know a little bit about myself, who do we have here?
Directly to Bushmaster's left. You can add him on Instagram, by the way, at Bushmaster25.
That's right.
You got Tanner Friesen.
Tanner the kid.
The kid. the cashmere killer. No, I can't use that one. That's Brian Callen. also known as the kid.
Though. Also known as the kid.
You can hit me on Instagram at tfreeze31, hailing from just a little farther south than Duane.
In the great, what we'd say about 8 miles.
The great town of Grunthal, Manitoba.
Isn't that more Sardo?
No, I'm in Grunthal. I'm about a mile out.
No, you're more than a mile out. Come on.
I'm exactly a mile out.
Are you?
Exactly. Well, a mile and...
No, you're more
the than family that. Farm?
Sure.
It's the mile road.
Oh, shoot, that is...
We connect to the... Our property runs right to the mile road.
Oh, shoot. That's right. And then there's the auction mart. There's that mart pit, right?
No, there's the auction mart.
Well, you know, you got that first pit, and then there's that mile road.
Oh, yeah, the first Lost Lake is what we call it. Right in town, right across from the feed mill.
The feed right pit there, they used to call it, right?
Yep.
Because it's not feed right anymore, correct? Or is it still feed right? No, who cares?
But anyway.
So, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, hailing from Grunthal, Manitoba. I am primarily a antler chaser. Not so much into the fowl side of things. Although, would love to. Just never have gotten around to it.
Really. There's always time for change, old son.
Yes.
As Mr. Dale Brisby would say.
Yeah, so I'm a bit of an antler enthusiast.
I suppose one would suggest.
Well, you know, I shouldn't say I'm an antler enthusiast. I enjoy a nice rack as much as anybody else, but I like the meat in the freezer.
Don't we all? Some good lean protein.
I tell you what, though, you cannot beat meat that you know how it was handled. You can't. I'm sorry. When you have, I don't know if we can say slaughtered an animal.
Sure.
I think that's a PG term.
Oh.
It's a PG term.
Be my guest.
When you euthanize an animal for the gain of meat in the freezer.
All you kids out there, say euthanize an animal for the meat, that means kill an animal for the meat.
Yeah, you're harvesting a life at that point.
You're taking the life of an animal to better your own because you need to be fed, and meat is an essential source of protein in your life.
It's meat, sir.
It's meat, sir. Hashtag it's meat, sir.
I want to see that hashtag on numerous posts.
From now on. Have you not been on the flatline?
I have been. I like every picture and every video. Yeah. So, I've taken caribou, deer.
Lots of dogs too, right? A bit of a dog enthusiast, yes, by the way.
I do enjoy, and not actual dogs. We're talking coyotes. Coyotes. Yeah. Varmint control is a fun thing for me to do. It's a nice winter pastime.
If you're not familiar with the southeastern Manitoba, it is a grain crop slash...
Yeah, well...
it's lots
we're
of...
We're not so much grain land anymore. It used to be a lot of grain
I guess
land.
It... No, here it is.
No. more livestock farming out here.
Between let's say Mitchell to Landmark to.
Oh yeah, well there's a couple of big grain farms. When I think grain farms, I'm thinking Jan's Eden.
Oh yeah.
For all the folks that don't speak Plowdeach out there, that's this. Well, Jan's Eden.
That's the west side of the Red River in Manitoba.
Yep. Yeah.
It's a lot. We can get
long story. That another podcast.
Yeah. But out here, it's mostly
a lot of livestock.
A lot of livestock, seeing like grazing cattle.
Yep.
Beef cows and
dairy
and tons of pig farms.
Lots of chicken farms.
Chicken farms.
Yep.
Even turkey farms. And there is still quite a lot of cropland.
There is a lot of cropland.
And lots
those guys don't run grain though nowadays. Like you're finding a lot of guys are doing a lot of corn.
A lot of corn.
Even silage corn.
Oh yeah.
A lot of it.
Around any dairy farm here there's tons of silage corn.
Oh yeah.
Which is great for the geese in probably the third week of September, usually second week of September, give or take.
Yeah, you're a hard guy to get hold of around that time of year.
I'm pretty busy, man.
Fair enough.
So that is whatever.
That's kind of
what was your name again?
That was Tanner Friesen.
No, the handle there
on Instagram, tfreeze31.
That's him.
That's
folks.
So you guys got a little bit into who we are.
Special guest here.
Yeah, special guest, yeah.
Normal. Probably special. I would reckon to guess a staple guest, Pertnir, as they would
good
say.
Good fact checker.
Yeah.
I mean it's almost a little intimidating being next to you. How's that for a second?
Well, I like to be factual and precise with what I say. So, I mean, I like to be accurate.
You are rather articulate in the English language. Well versed.
I might be well versed. It doesn't mean I can speak it very well. I mean, I'll jumble my words all any given day.
Well, I mean, don't we all?
But that's enough about the English language.
There it is, folks.
The old English.
Yeah. So I say we
move on.
Close out this segment.
Oh, are we talking about that four car?
There's a segue. Yeah, we're talking about that four car.
All right, folks.
So
we are both NASCAR enthusiasts.
Enthusiasts is an understatement.
I will state, though, that I had been out of the sport for a while until last year. Which is fair to say, and I jumped back in pretty heavy, I'd say.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
And
I would tend to agree. I mean, you missed what Jimmy Johnson's 5 straight consecutive championships and Kyle Busch championship, which I mean, hey, it is what it is. It is what
how
it
many
is.
Races didn't he miss that year, and he still won?
Yeah, I think everybody felt bad for him.
In all fairness, is there another driver that handles this car like with the skill that guy has though?
You know what?
That guy's a heck of a driver.
That guy's a wheel man. He can get into that guy could drive a dump truck around the track and win. The only absolute reason that I dislike Kyle Busch is I think he's a whiner. I mean,
he's
gotten better with age, and I get that. You know, he's not as bad as Keselowski. He's not as bad as some of these other guys that have, like, Joey Gase or Trevor Bain.
The six car.
The six car.
Yeah. No offense.
No offense to Trevor Bain. I mean, you're
there and we're not.
Yeah, exactly. So we're just fans. Props. Just spectators. But, yeah, how about that Harvick machine?
Oh, my goodness. That four car.
Back
two wins
to
in
back.
A row. What are we, three races in?
Three races in.
Has
he's won 2/3 of the races so far this year.
So he's on pace to win 24 races this year, essentially.
Yep.
There's 36 races a year.
36, yeah.
So he's on pace to do 24 races.
24, which, I mean, let's be real, that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. It's a silly stat at this point.
Yeah, but I mean, two challenging tracks.
I mean, T-Smoke's not in the race anymore, so
that's
I mean,
true.
Glenn.
Can't dive bomb, can't...
That is an SHR car.
He'll move, guys.
That is an SHR car.
They don't call him the closer for nothing.
Oh, sorry. I mean... They should change his name by now. I mean, he's not closing anymore. He's leading.
Exactly.
He's led more laps this year than anybody.
He's closing them out when they drop the green flag first time.
He's led more laps this year than the entire field.
Well, yeah, he's also, yeah, well, I mean, he dominated Vegas.
Out of the three races, he has led the most laps, like, Harvick, well, and then the field is number two combined.
Yeah, but he also did dominate Vegas, which Vegas and Atlanta are two hard tracks.
Yeah.
You're talking about slick racing surfaces.
Oh, Vegas was completely slick.
Oh, man, guys were complaining rear grip all day. Yeah. All day. What was nice to see, to watch Jimmy drive it up from 36 to 12th.
You are a bit of a JJ fan.
I am a huge JJ fan. If there's a guy I'm going to cheer for, it's seven-time.
Seven-time champ, ladies and gents.
Seven-time champ.
Chasing eight?
Chasing eight. Could be his last year. They're thinking this could be his last year.
No, no. He's still got that contract extension on, though.
Doesn't mean Hendrick won't boot him.
Rick's not going to boot him.
I don't know. It's young. NASCAR's a young man's game right now.
Yeah, but look at the 42-year-olds this year so far. Harvick.
Yeah, that's true.
Two wins like that.
Although Austin Dillon taking home the 500. Come on. In the three car, sliding through the infield.
Making that three on the grass.
If that does not send shivers down your spine, you're not a NASCAR fan.
Ah, you know, like, I think JJ will be around for a while.
It's possible. He did, if you watch the Radioactive after his seventh win, or seventh championship, he did look at Rick Hendrick and say, we're going for eight.
Well, might as well.
I mean, let's break some records while you're at it. Never been an eight-time champion in NASCAR.
Like Stipe Miocic said, records are meant to be broken.
And that's a heck of a dude to say it. Quite a name to say, too. Yeah. But, heck of a fighter.
Heck of a fighter.
The other thing about us.
UFC fans.
Bushmaster more than me, I will admittedly say. I haven't, like Dwayne in NASCAR, I haven't really got into, I was big into the sport and then kind of faded away.
That happens.
But, you know, seeing a good fight night in Winnipeg there a little while back. And
that was a heck of a time.
That was a real good time.
Oh, I'd say.
So, what do you think of the young guys in NASCAR so far? It's been a...
You know what I'm waiting for? I'll tell you. Waiting for that 9 car to win. I mean...
Long overdue.
From the 25 to the 24 to the 9 car. Chase Elliott, son. We are pulling for you, even though... I will fully admit, I am a Kyle Busch fan. Because he is a skilled driver, and that's the reason why. And because he's turning into a good family man, and I appreciate that.
Yep. I can agree.
But... Chase Elliott, we are pulling for you.
That kid can drive.
That kid can wheel. Oh my goodness, Chase. He's
been caught up in some bad wrecks. I mean, let's not forget Martinsville last year.
Oh, exactly.
Denny Hamlin. I like Denny. Denny's a good driver.
You know, I was kind of mad at Denny for a while there, and then I kind of realized, you know what?
It's racing. It's Martinsville.
Especially Martinsville.
You're racing the paperclip.
And you know what? I'm sure Denny won't hear this, but you're all right.
He will.
You all right?
Hey, old son, you all right in my books. You can drive that 11 FedEx to Victory Lane.
You're a heck of a driver.
And a good quiet guy. You know, he's kind of like Kenseth in a way. You know, Kenseth never, you really didn't hear him.
Yeah, he wasn't yapping.
He never had a bad interview. I mean, yeah. He had one good scrap there. When, who was that? Was that Kyle Busch that hit him in the back end? No. Somebody hit him in the back end at the end of a race when he was unbuckled and he chased him in the back.
I don't know.
Might have even been Logano.
Ooh.
Yeah. He deserved it, though.
Oh, Kyle Busch got him with Logano last year.
Kyle Busch was the worst for wear, though.
No, was that Atlanta?
It was Atlanta.
Yeah.
Kyle Busch was worse for wear. Yeah. But, I mean, that's all pit guys fighting, right? The drivers don't actually swing hardly ever.
I wish he goes.
Yeah, no, Chase Elliott, that kid, it's got to be his year this year to get one under his belt. I mean,
well, the way that guy's been driving the last number of years, I mean, once they figure out these new Camaros, which...
The ZL1s is a tough package.
I mean, RCR clearly, well, I mean, sure they won in Daytona, but...
But Austin also made a heck of a move to move Amarola.
Yeah, and there was a few wrecks to knock some key guys out,
well, exactly. Too. I mean, Chase was gone.
Kyle Busch was wrecked.
Jimmy was out.
Exactly.
Bowman was out.
Yeah.
And, like, all the
Hendrick Bowman had smoked that pole, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's not Dale Jr., but...
He's another... That kid can drive.
Like, watch out for that 88.
Watch out for Hendrick. If Hendrick can find a way to tighten up their cars, yeah, they're going to be back to the Hendrick of old. Because it used to be Hendrick had the motor.
Right.
Everybody wanted Hendrick motors. because they never went.
Yeah.
RCR and Chip Ganassi and everybody else wanted those motors and couldn't get them. And then everybody else caught up and Hendrick never moved forward. Now they got loose cars. And I'm telling you, once they get these new Camaro ZL1 package figured out, get the aero down on them, they are going to be dangerous. I mean, William Byron isn't a snuff either.
Well, no. He's a young kid, but...
championship driver.
I mean, he's in the Cup Series for a reason.
Exactly. I mean, running a pretty slick-looking 24 car.
That's
a 24 gold.
But, I mean, I think one of the biggest things is just figuring out that bump draft with those pointy Camaros.
Yeah. Well, they got that fronty indent in the front end, right?
It's like, a little bit weird,
It's a different aero package than anybody else has. I mean, Camrys, the XSEs, it's a round front. The Fords, round front. Mm-hmm. Then Chevy's got an indent. And it looks like a wider body. Like, it's a mean-looking car. But, I mean, let's not get around it. They're small spoilers. They're hard to pass in those. Even in last generation, if you will, the cars were hard to pass.
Oh, yeah.
No rear downforce. And then Goodyear's bringing a very conservative tire and not a lot of grip.
Yeah, away she goes, I suppose. How about that four car, though? 2 weeks in a row?
You think he can make three?
Well.
He's had luck at Phoenix.
I guess we'll see. Who won Phoenix last year?
Which race? Spring or fall?
Well, spring.
Spring race.
I want to guess it was MTJ, but I'm probably wrong. Is it a mile and a half?
Yes.
Or is it a mile?
Phoenix is a mile. Oh, you know what? Let's fact check
this. Let's check this out.
Let's check this out. Phoenix race.
What do you think about MTJ this year?
I think a lot of people, I think he's feeling the pressure.
No, I don't think so. I think that guy's cool as a cucumber.
I think that whole team is feeling a little bit of pressure of having a Cinderella story last year. And now with, I mean, MTJ's longtime girlfriend being cured of cancer. Or I don't know if it's cured, maybe.
I think she was clear. I could be wrong.
She did ring the bell. I did see that.
But, I don't know, man. I think...
Ryan Newman.
Oh, yes.
In the March race.
Yes, okay. That is right.
Yep. And then the fall race would have been... that would have been Chase. Or, not the Chase. What do they call it now?
Playoffs.
The playoffs. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Newman had a gutsy come from behind win that
right.
He broke the... That was a slump buster.
That was a... What it was, like 138 races or something?
Yeah.
Something big like that. Could be wrong on the exact number, but it was over 100 for sure. But yeah, like, let's see if that four car Kevin Harvick could do it again. How about that penalty, though?
You'll have to explain this to me, because all I know is that his rear windshield was illegal.
Okay, I checked it out a bit, and basically there's a support on the left side and the rear side of the rear window.
Yep.
And it kind of crosses from the middle of the top of the rear down to the middle of the sides. And on the right-hand side of the car, it had failed.
Yep.
Which caused the top of the sheet metal just above the rear window. And I guess all y'all can't see my hands moving here.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
So that brace on the right-hand side failed, which, you know, braces the window. So then that sheet metal on top, and I guess maybe even part of the window, it was kind of...
Buckled down?
Buckled down, kind of bowing down a bit, like a couple inches.
Watch the light there. That's an expensive fixture, son.
So it was kind of divoted down.
Yeah.
A couple inches, and I don't know, Rodney Childers says it doesn't help him in the race. It might not, I don't know.
Well, I mean, I'm no aerodynamic physicist here, but I did take a very minor aerodynamic class in high school. And thinking logically here, and if anybody can answer this correctly, feel free to let us know if I'm wrong. If that is concave just a hair, that'll add rear downforce. Give me a little more grip. However, you'll burn up your rear tires faster. With too much grip, right?
Yeah, but he was lifting at the start finish line.
So. Oh, that guy, yeah, he was.
You're pretty close there.
He was letting off in victory lane.
I mean, and he was 6 seconds ahead.
All race.
All race.
Like, and it didn't matter. Like, I know, didn't he get, was it Vegas or Atlanta where he got the penalty and marched back to the field?
That was Atlanta.
Atlanta, they had a gun go down.
That was Atlanta. Because yeah. The gun went, or yeah, because the gun
went up. They had a penalty.
Yeah, from that. It was a lug nut penalty, I think, right?
No. You can't get a lug nut penalty.
That's
post race inspection.
Shoot, I can't remember what it was.
You can run four lug nuts all race, and then as long as you get five on your final stop, you're golden. But those new guns that they have, the NASCAR issued guns,
that's a joke.
That's garbage. You know what was? I think it was. Was KBR saying those guns cost like $50,000 a piece?
What?
The teams caught it cost, or it was Junior on his podcast.
Dirty Mo.
Dirty Mo.
Shout out to Junior and Dirty Mo. Nation,
do it for Dale.
Appreciation.
Great.
Appreciation? I don't know.
I just say appreciation.
I used it a few times. I didn't say it. I just used it.
Here's a question for you. How do you use the hashtag and get the little 88 icon beside it?
That's a Twitter thing. You gotta find it.
I could never get it. I looked.
The key is to start spelling it right.
Well, I always start with an uppercase A.
No, you don't need an uppercase A. It's A P P R
I C 88 T I O N.
It's E, not an I. That's where
I went wrong. Yeah, that's where I went wrong.
And then, I don't know, it comes up and you get him with this cool shades on and everything.
Yeah. I know Chase Elliott's got his own.
What?
Chase has got his own. I seen it the other day. Find it now. Oh, by the way, the other winner at Phoenix, not only the 20 car, 20 DeWalt car.
Kansas.
Yeah.
Holy.
Paul Race.
You know what?
Real great guy.
It's too bad he's not racing this year.
I wouldn't be surprised if next year he gets a ride.
Where?
I don't know. I'm sure somebody's going to be mad that the driver didn't produce. I mean, I love Clint Bowyer. That guy hasn't won a race in a coon's age.
That's true.
Great for Radio Sweetheart, though, when you're talking about... when you want to talk about Radioactive,
that guy should be winning week in, week out.
But, heck of a driver. Hasn't won in a while. I mean, part of that's... I mean, he just hasn't been...
He's been up front.
Yeah, he has. He's had the cars, too.
Yeah.
I think he's just been caught in the wrong place at the wrong time. I mean, as much like Danica, too. Danica was a better driver than she ever showed. Because she got caught... racing Trevor Bayne.
Getting wrecked out
every dang time.
Beginning of the third stage or something, all of a sudden, bam!
Speaking of stage, you know what I'm looking forward to hearing?
Stage winner, stage MPJ. Winner.
MPJ. Shout out to Clayton Hughes.
For the 13th time this year, stage winner, MPJ.
Or for the 19th time this year, stage winner, MPJ. And then every now and again after race, he gets all fired up.
Oh, yeah.
MTJ Cole Pern,
you're the man!
Get you some of that! Also, shout out to DW. Can't forget.
Boogity, boogity, booty boys, let's go racing.
Question for anybody that actively listens to DW. Is he going to switch back to boys? Or is he going to stay drivers?
I think he's going back to boys.
You'd think.
But we'll see. As the year goes on.
I don't know if I'm gonna be able to find this Chase Elliott hashtag now. He's got DI9. I don't know what that is.
DI9.
Yeah, he's got a hashtag DI9.
Wonder what ISM range for. I'm sticking with Phoenix DI9.
He's had that all year since he started in a 9 car. He's got some pretty snazzy paint schemes though.
Yeah, he does. Oh, let's move on.
Yeah, that's enough NASCAR.
So. What do you think about 2017 whitetail season?
Boy, howdy. I mean, it was a PR.
How many times did you hunt? One time, was it?
I wasn't in the stand for more than 20 minutes. But to be fair. I had hunted for 10 years unsuccessfully. Now part of that was my own... self-doing, not, I mean, learning, right?
User error, perhaps?
Yeah, perhaps, and also, you know, not being quiet going into the stand and all sorts, right? You know, I was a 12-year-old kid going into the stand. You're not really, you have this, how does Catching Deers put it? Booner.
Swiping through the inch, the G.
Yeah, exactly. And then you get your hopes up and you expect Billy Booner to walk out at any moment, and it does not happen. But however, this year I went into it with
renewed expectations or renewed hope.
I wouldn't even say renewed. I just didn't have any. I was going out for the weekend just to kind of get away from. I don't want to say get away from it all. Like, it makes me sound like I'm super stressed. I really don't have a lot of stress, but I was just looking forward to spending a weekend in the bush and you know, hopefully putting meat in the freezer. And yeah, shoot, I wasn't in the stand for more than 20 minutes, and I heard something raking through the bush, and heard some sticks breaking, and I figured, well, I better let out a couple grunts. And I let out a couple grunts, and he responded with a snort wheeze. Ooh. And I figured, hey, no better time than now. And he stepped out at 7 yards and
blouch with the old bow.
Yeah, with the old diamond.
A little side note here, if you're not familiar with the Meat Eater podcast, shout out to Steven Ranella and Giannis Poutelis, or as some people say, Janis Poutelis.
Or... A.K.A. the Latvian Eagle.
That's right.
A.K.A. the Latvian Lover.
No, that's left behind in the dust now.
I feel like you still have to A.K.A. it because it's a huge... It's still great.
Whatever the case is...
A.K.A.
Blauksh is the Latvian term for saying, oh, look, there's a deer out there. Blam, blam, blam.
Or bang, or boom. Kind of a gun noise.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I saw this deer walk across the field, and I went, blouch, blouch, blouch,
blouch.
Yeah. Anyways.
And if you're looking for a good podcast, that's another good one.
That is the one.
JRE. One.
JRE?
You might as well shout out Rogan. JRE. Yeah, you gotta shout out JRE.
Keep hammering with Mr. Haynes, Cameron.
He hasn't updated in a while.
No, it's been a while.
It's been a coon's age.
Yeah.
Also, just to quickly run back to the NASCAR, Glass Case of Emotion.
Mr. Blaney.
Kimmy Coon.
And Bush Chuck. Chuck, yes, Bush himself.
Great host. Great guy. Real funny.
It's a good trio.
It is. And Blaney's a cool guy. But anyway.
He's well spoken, and Miss Coon is, she's good. I don't know. She adds something good to it. And
yes, she does.
Moving on.
How was your 2017 whitetail season?
Well.
Busy.
Here in Manitoba, our whitetail season starts usually about a week into September, give or take.
Usually.
It depends on the year.
Some years we've been hunting into August.
Yeah, I mean, last couple of years it's been into September. Mm-hmm. And also, in most areas of Manitoba, the last few years it's been one buck only.
One antlered animal only,
and that is from whether or not you take it in the bow season or the muzzleloader season or the rifle season.
You get one tag
to combine all three of the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's certain areas where you can shoot additional unantlered animals, but that does not coincide with our local season here.
Not in our GHAs, as we call it.
General hunting area.
Yeah.
No, we don't have to list the number.
No, we don't have to listen.
No, no, we don't have it. No, no.
I'm just saying, there's other places that they have...
greater bag limits.
What does the states have? What do they call them? They're not GHAs. They're...
Units.
Units. Yeah, so as the states would have unit 27A, we have unit 14B. Or, sorry, GHA 14B. Or along those lines, don't... actually use those numbers because they probably don't exist.
Yeah, 14 would probably be up north or in the Interlake or something, or the Parkland area, which is not where we are.
Not even remotely close.
That is remotely close if it's the Interlake.
Well, yeah, but you're still
driving. Hour and a half drive. Two hours.
2 hours for sure until you're in the Interlake. You gotta go north of the perimeter, the Winnipeg perimeter, then you're in the Interlake.
But, so yeah. So, yeah, bucks or antlered only. I always have to split my archery seasons with waterfowling because that is a great passion of mine, so I try to, you know, spend as much time in the field with the birds as I can, and you know, also try to split some time with the deer. So, I mean, this last year I recall hunting. My brother and I, we often hunt deer together. And so yeah, we had set up our stands probably a month in advance, and this is hunting private land, actually where my mother grew up. My uncle owns it now. So private land, and I had hunted one Saturday, I think it was probably the middle of September, roughly, give or take, a Saturday morning. And I hadn't been very quiet that morning. I had, you know, walked in, sat on the ground. Shoot, I can't even remember. No. Was there? No, there must have not been stand set up that time. That's right. No stand set up then yet. We set them up the day after that, I believe. On the Sunday, yeah. So I just walked in and, you know, sat by a tree and, you know, poured my coffee loudly. I was just out there to, you know, poke around and check it out, because I mean, from middle of September till almost the end of November out there, I mean, there's lots of time, lots of opportunity. So so I just, you know, sat around loudly and didn't really see, I don't recall seeing a deer that day. And you know, we set up our stands and whatnot the next day, my brother and I, and I believe it was 2 weeks later, I was supposed to go to a concert on the Saturday night in Winnipeg, and that fell through, so I decided to go sit in the stand, and I ended up seeing some deer, some small bucks and stuff, and my uncle was actually feeding cows at the farmhouse, or in the pens, whatever, close to the house. It's a big piece of private land, so there's lots of room. And he calls me up. He tells me to come to the house because there's some deer by the house. And so I head on out there eventually, and sure enough, there's three small bucks there. And as daylight's losing, and there's this big body that comes from the tree line. And, you know, my uncle sees him from where he's feeding cows, and he's like, whoa, what do we have here, kind of thing. And, you know, he's taking note, and I'm taking note, and whatever, you know, darkness falls, and we discuss and move on from there that day. And that was the Saturday. You know, Sunday, I think I spent at home with my family, and then Monday was our Canadian Thanksgiving Monday. So I went hunting that morning, and sure enough, those three bucks came through about half an hour into the sit. For half an hour, 45 minutes into the sit in the stand now. And sure enough, that fourth one with the big body was close by. And
that was Thanksgiving.
That was Thanksgiving Monday. Canadian Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Because I remember I was going to go out that day, but I can't remember if I had... I wasn't sure if I was... Don't mind the dog running around. I can't remember if I was getting the bow tuned up, or maybe I didn't even have a bow yet.
I don't know if you had that one yet.
I don't even know if I had my diamond yet.
I don't know.
I hadn't been out. Anyway, I didn't go out that morning. I got up a little later than normal to a Snapchat to a celebratory or celebrating Bushmaster. Got one down. And by the time that I had finally made a coffee and rolled out, that thing was hanging in your neighbor's property.
That's right, on the scale.
Little neat fact, we're actually neighbors. Right now we are.
Yeah.
That could be changed soon. Will be changed soon,
yeah.
I should say.
So anyways, yeah, so I mean, 45 minutes into that sit, off that ladder stand, I poked that buck with my diamond core, which I, you know, I've had for a number of years now. And
you've had that thing longer than...
I want to say 6 years now, roughly, give or take.
Things have been around since the beginning of time, I think.
Hey, it was...
You know, she'll perform.
For a budget bow, man, that is a heck of a bow.
It is. It's a good shooting bow.
And, you know, it shoots true, and it clearly it kills deer. So, I mean...
Blouch.
And I used the Grizz Trick, you know, the Slick Trick Grizz Trick 2 broadheads.
That's something we'll get into yet.
Eventually. Maybe not tonight.
Probably not tonight. But eventually we're going to get into the fixed blade versus mechanical argument. Because we both sit on different sides of the fence.
Yeah, so that was the extent of my 2017 season because, yeah, arrowed that sucker and had to track my ways. There was tons of blood, by the way. So, I mean, if you're looking for a broadhead, shout out to Slick Trick for their well-piercing broadheads.
Also, shout out to Range, the hypodermic two-blade. I put a hole in my deer the size of Texas. Just about. That thing, it looked like somebody had grabbed two cans of red spray paint and ran past the trees.
And yeah, okay.
Like, just full tilt.
Side note, the Grizz Trick 2 did the same thing.
Argument for another podcast. So what are your plans for 2018 coming up here?
Well, quick plug here for the Flatlands Field and Fowl page on the Instagram. Starting out just, you know, good hunting outdoors stuff.
Just a couple of good old boys.
Just a few good old boys. Yeah, that's all we are.
Also, you know,
good wholesome fellas.
Let us know if there's anything you want to see video wise.
Sure.
Could look into a YouTube page.
That is in the works, actually.
Couple filmed hunts, eh?
Yeah. That is in the works. So yeah, 2018
plans. What are you thinking? What do you got brewing?
Well, are we talking just whitetails for now?
No, let's get into your 18 hunting plans.
Well, spring bear's coming up soon, so yep. Baits are going to be out soon, and hopefully hitting them hard this spring, real hard. I believe you're baiting this year as well.
Yeah, we'll be baiting. Excuse me.
Southeast Manitoba is known for some of the biggest bears in the world. Black bears, that is.
Which?
Ursus Americanus.
The common black bear.
The common, I guess you could say, quotation marks, American black bear.
American black bear, yeah. Which, we are the northern tip of that range.
Pretty much.
They tend not to go too much farther north.
That's right. Throughout the prairies of Canada.
Yeah.
There's some monsters in Alberta and Quebec.
Quebec's got some big ones.
Oh, I mean Alaska as well, obviously. But that is... We're not from there, so...
Yeah, we're from Canada land.
We're from the flatlands, the prairies of...
Manisnoba. Yeah. Had to get down to snow the other day. So yeah, you're baiting spring bear.
Baiting spring.
We're both going to be baiting spring bear.
A little bit different areas. Similar topography. Very, pretty dense bush. Lots of pine trees, basically.
I'm a little swampier.
You're a little swampier, yeah.
The swamp
actually,
out there.
I have a lot of swamp in my area, too, so.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
It's in that part of the province, it's pretty similar. You know, lots of sandy soil and etc. Whitetail season, I haven't totally figured that out yet. I'm kind of leaning back towards my hunting grounds of the last few years where I shot that deer last year.
Yep, tried and true,
you know, family land, and it's just, you know, it's a thing in my heart that draws me back there every year, and it I mean, over the years it has produced some nice deer, so I mean, overall, the primary goal is some good meat in the freezer, right?
So yeah, at the end of the day, that's what you're looking for.
That's what you're looking for, so I mean...
A rack on the wall is nice, but a full tummy is, I'd reckon, is a little nicer.
Exactly.
Do you guys do anything for management-wise? Is that something you've looked into?
Yes. Deer? Basically trying to... it's kind of... The way the deer work there, it's not, they don't all stick on the property we hunt.
Yeah.
My brother and I, so it's basically, it's kind of like, there's a few different neighbors there, and they kind of, you know, kind of roam like a triangle of properties kind of thing, so.
Yeah. Driftless. You're not running a Doug Dern idea,
Not quite the Lone Oak interests, top shelf bucks only, no. Shout out to Doug Dern.
Shout out to Doug Dern.
Seems like a heck of a guy.
Real good guy.
Like to meet that guy someday.
Like to shake his hand.
Yeah.
Anybody that really runs with the meat eater group there, I feel like.
Would be a heck of a guy to meet. Yeah. Or a heck of a woman to meet.
True. Got some pretty dang good
Brittany Brothers and Helen Cho. They seem
good
like,
elk hunt.
They seem like cool cats.
It takes a lot of discipline to say I'm not going to shoot anything over 150 yards.
Yeah.
Because trust me, I've been behind a barrel of a gun, even if it's a coyote at 300 yards full sprint, thinking I can make that shot.
Oh, easy shot.
No problem.
Blouch. Oh, no.
Nothing. Blouch. Oh, missed.
Missed. Yeah. Missed.
Blouch. 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 Blouch.
Yeah, but, so 2018, I'm guessing I'll be back there, but I'm going to have to sit down with my brother and talk about some plans and see where we go with that. What about your 2018? I'm guessing it's back down to that same spot, or are you hunting farm bucks this year at the old family farm?
Well, I've got I've kind of got some game plans that are in the works now. Like you said, southern, deep southern Manitoba here. About hour and a bit, I guess, from home. Got the world famous, not world famous, but got a good section of land down there that last year, that's where I harvested my buck. But, you know, that big booner from the farm buck, I think it'll be a good name for that thing.
The farm buck, which is kind of well known in the, you know,
in this area. It's got a big home range.
Yeah.
That thing's been spotted everywhere from basically 5 miles either direction of our farm.
Yeah.
So that buck, I mean, it's obviously on the hit list. I think this is his last good year before he really hits the decline.
And we'll put that little plug in there that it's not just on Mr. Tanner's year hit list. It's also on a few other fellas'
hit
lists.
That is a heavily pursued animal.
So first come, first serve, I suppose.
Yeah. Hopefully it's me. But, you know, it'd be cool to see that buck really in the back of anybody's truck.
We hope and we pray, but as long as it's not a roadkill, basically, no, right?
Or a predator. I would rather see it in the back of anybody's truck than a predator get to it. But, we got the farm buck that I've been chasing now for, I guess this will be the seventh year. So I'd reckon this would be either his last good year or this will be the first year of decline that we'll see.
I guess we'll find out. Hopefully.
Soon enough.
Fingers crossed, toes crossed, prayers sent up.
Yes, sir. Also planning a week backpack hunt in, I guess, be mid-Whiteshell area.
That's one of our provincial parks here in Manitoba.
Yeah. Also, what I guess in Manitoba we call a DMZ, a deer management zone.
In Manitoba we call that a DMZ, actually, since we are
Canadian. Oh, yes. Sorry. I jump the border frequently. It's like coos and coos. Yeah. I'll pick one.
Or Sitka and Sika blacktail.
Exactly. So definitely planning that out. I think me and you have talked about that a little bit, kind of here and there, you know, tossed up the idea of doing a backpack hunt. Basically got those three, and then looking at some permissions on a Morris lease, so I can hunt a little later into the season
down the Red River Valley.
Yeah, so I can hunt basically up
there's
till
some big river bucks out there.
There is, and you can hunt till Christmas Eve.
Yep.
So
that is a center fire prohibited zone for hunting purposes,
which is fine because I tend to be an archery only fellow for all the cervids.
At the end of the day, I mean, whether, in my opinion, and you can hate me for this if you please, but whether you take it with archery or with a muzzleloader or with a centerfire rifle,
you're putting meat in the freezer.
If you're putting meat in the freezer, as long as you're doing your work.
Oh, for sure. I'm not a purist about it either. I think if you're putting meat in the freezer and doing it ethically, then there's all two years.
Do it with whatever tool you please.
Exactly. It's still a time-honored tradition that you're respecting. Oh, yeah. So
exactly, yeah.
And then, I mean, yeah, spring bear, we're baiting. I know me and my old man are talking about some spots, and we're going to be, now we're starting to hit it hard. And then, you know, as hunts come up, I kind of try and fit them in as I can, you know.
Kind of looking into some elk and or moose hunts.
Yeah, so if anybody out there listening has some elk or moose land, feel free to let us know. We will gladly come ethically take your animals.
And we'll put them in our freezers.
In our freezers. You know what? We may even give you a backstrap. Or half a backstrap, depending on how big the critter is.
Now, backstrap meaning loin.
Loin,
cut,
yeah,
for all of us butcher folks that have practiced on animals such as beef cows, etc., and call them loins, not backstraps.
Backstraps are just an easy name to remember.
Yeah, it seems to be more of a hunter's name, but seeing as I was trained by a professional butcher.
We're not all skilled in the nomenclature of meat cuts. I'll tell you, that's a neck, that's a backstrap, that's a roast.
There you go.
So, waterfowl plans? Obviously, I mean, you'll be
hitting. We are, I'll be hitting it hard and just looking to put down as many birds as I can and, you know, just chasing the overall experience. It doesn't, you know.
Cancel some flights.
Cancel some flights. I'm at the point in my life where, you know what, a limit is nice, but it's more about the experience than anything else.
Yeah.
And more, it's more about just working hard and really putting the fool on some birds. And, you know, that's basically it. So
that's your 2018.
Yeah, busy. I'd say so.
Busy.
I mean, I'm...
A lot of meat in the freezer.
The draw applications are coming up for, you know, draws on elk and moose, so I don't know if we'll get that done this year, but it might be next year, might be the year after, I don't know.
I mean, I think I know I would love to put in for moose. I think I have a lot of permission, or I shouldn't say permissions.
Permissions.
I have a lot of potential permissions out west of here.
There's some public lands out there too to hunt.
Which, you know, that is one thing that I definitely want to get into more and more, especially around here, because it's so hard to get permission from
here,
guys.
It's ridiculous.
Everybody's got a cousin or a nephew or a brother that hunts, right? That's just kind of down here, at least in southern Manitoba, that's what you grow up doing. As soon as you can get your hunter safety, you're out there with either your old man or somebody that can hunt with you, and you're sitting in a tree stand, right? So, you know, I think public lands offer a very unique challenge because you, A, do have to deal with other people or the potential for other people, and, you know, sometimes the scouting you can put in is rather limited. I know west of here, I mean, if we're going to, in theory, hunt moose, right, you're talking about a 2.5-3 hour drive.
At least.
So you can't just go out on a weekend and scout. That's a plan. Like, that's something you have to really
orchestrate.
You
can't just go out willy-nilly and say, exactly, hey, fella, let's go out this day. And
let's go scout, right? Yeah, exactly. So,
hey, what are you doing after breakfast today?
You know, let's quickly go out and scout a little bit because you spent half your day driving. But, so yeah, I know, like I said, we've talked about moose, we've talked about elk. I think
it's in the cards eventually.
Yeah, and I mean, at least in Manitoba, a moose you can party hunt it, right?
Yeah.
So if one guy draws, you can always get a couple buddies that'll go and push bush for you should you need it, and basically haul out an animal.
And you get hundreds of pounds of meat off that sucker. So I mean, that's
you can fit an entire white tail in the chest cavity of a moose.
It's ridiculous.
That's a big old critter. But before we run out of time here, what weapon of choice?
Well,
let's just give the people a little background. What they preferred.
Well, Kate, archery hunting, I use a diamond core bow, which is made by Bowtech. Shout out to Bowtech and Diamond. So basically, I bought it at
In God We Trust.
In God We Trust, yeah. I bought it at the Winnipeg Cabela's moving sale for a smoking deal. And I haven't turned back and or complained. So, I've been happy with it. As far as a rifle goes, I like my 300 Win Mag. It's a Savage 111. I bought it used a number of years ago. It works great. I've shot a bear a few years ago with it. I also use a Traditions, I want to say it's an LT inline muzzleloader. whitetail. I typically use my Remington 870 Wingmaster. Looking to buy a semi-auto this year, probably a Weatherby. Yeah, so that is my main weaponry choice. Yours, Tanner?
I shoot a archery. I shoot a Diamond Edge SB1.
Shout out to Diamond again.
Shout out to Diamond again. Quiet, fast, love my bow. Light, yeah, love my bow. Bought it used. Guy shot 12 arrows through it, didn't have time to use it. Got a steal of deal online. As for rifle, I basically have... I don't do a lot of deer hunting rifle. The only rifle hunting I really do is for coyotes. And I got two guns that I shoot frequently in those. And I got a Tika T3 chambered in a 270. Just a bone stock rifle. Love that gun. Super smooth. And then I have a Savage. And everybody's going to hate me because I can't tell you the model. I can't think of it off the top of my head. But that one's tricked out. That's my coyote gun, or our coyote gun, I should say. And don't really shoot muzzleloader all that much. And yeah, so that's pretty much what I hunt with. What about your next gear purchase? What's that? What's the next gear purchase you are buying?
A new freezer.
Okay.
That's my
all next right. gear yeah, purchase. Never really thought
it's a freezer.
Okay. That's important. I guess that would be on mine too. I think my next gear purchase is going to be a set of Vortex. Binos.
Knockers.
And a chess rig.
Yeah.
Good nice. Chess rig.
Yeah, that's in the cards for
especially
me as well.
Especially if we're going to be doing a public lands hunt, then yeah, you know, it'd be nice to have a set of knockers.
Yeah. But yeah, I think my next gear purchase would be a freezer, if you can call that gear.
I think so.
That or, yeah, I mean, some accessories like some good knockers or whatever, etc. We both yeah. picked up GPSs this winter time, so
very similar.
That's going to be helpful.
Very similar yep. GPSs too.
Garmin's.
Shout out to Garmin for making killer products.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think it's just minor.
You know, little things here and there. I mean, it's hard to say.
Figure
I mean,
that you need
as deals come up,
as
I mean,
they go on sale. Yeah,
yeah that's yeah. kind of key time to be buying.
Balling on a budget.
That's the way it goes. Though. I mean, we're not hunting full time as a career
not
yet.
Not even remotely close. Well, yet. I shouldn't say remotely close, but yeah, no, we still work full time jobs and yeah, got meals to put on the table.
We try to put as many hours and days as we can in, and,
or minutes, if you're some of us.
You know what?
Hey, it'll happen to you next year.
And you put in the time you can and you try to take off as much work as you possibly can before the boss man gets angry, but
yeah, oh for sure.
It's the way she goes.
But I think that's
about it, I'd say for
time
today.
Time to wrap it up, I'd
here
say.
Here we are, 12:15 at night and
On a whim.
Just to start this thing up.
Yeah.
How about it?
Podcast 01. Episode 01.
01. Flatlands, Field and Fowl.
And got a good hour out of it.
Yeah.
Just talking.
Just BS.
Covering everything from
NASCAR.
NASCAR to
bump drafting.
Bump drafting and the Chevy problems. Well,
folks, this is the Bushmaster 25. Actually, Bushmaster 25. The is not included except on the Twitter.
On the old Twitter.
Which is kind of hit and miss, so.
Yeah. Kind of some days it's on, some days it's off.
It's more of a NASCAR following kind of thing.
Yeah, I would agree. And this is, I guess, at T3's 31.
Perhaps soon to change. We'll
soon
find
to
out.
Change,
we'll
yeah.
find
yeah.
out soon enough.
Things are in the works. Things yeah. are in the works.
Yeah. So,
thanks for tuning in.